I'm very pleased to introduce to you, many of you I'm sure already know, Dr. Christopher Greer, who will be giving us his words of welcome as Director of the National Coordination Office. Welcome.
Thank you, Susan, and welcome to all of you here in the room and on the phone as well. Thanks to Susan for the terrific job she does in running the expedition workshops. These are extremely valuable and very well attended. As you can see, people are fighting their way through the metro to get here this morning, so very impressive. And this particular workshop, I think, addresses some very important issues, so I'm really pleased to see the strong turnout that we have today. So first, the acronyms, necessarily, the Networking Information Technology Research and Development Program, hereafter I'll describe as NITERD, and the National Coordination Office that supports the activities of that program, or NCO. And the NITERD program comprises 13 federal member agencies, and they're shown here, as well as a variety of participating agencies, and some of you are represented around the room as well. Collectively, the NITERD agencies this year will spend $3.5 billion on networking and information technology research and development. And the role of the NITERD program is to see that the impact of that spending is greater than just the sum of its parts through cooperation, coordination, and synergistic activities. And this workshop is a very important part of achieving that goal. This is the obligatory org chart that shows in the middle of the NITERD subcommittee. It's chartered under the Committee on Technology of the National Science and Technology Council. It has eight program component areas shown there towards the bottom. And as Susan and Bob said today, there are four of the PCAs that are involved today. In high-end computing, the Infrastructure and Applications Group, also in HEC, the Research and Development Group, Human-Computer Interaction and Information Management, and Social and Economic and Workforce, the group that regularly supports the Expedition Workshop series. So four remarkably are directly involved. I would argue that the issues you are taking up today are important for all eight. That in the area of cybersecurity and information assurance for very large, complex data set, dynamic data collections is a major challenge. In the area of large-scale network, the issues of data transport, grid computing, cloud computing, and all of those things that are so data-intensive are crucial to our planning for next-generation advanced networking. In high-confidence software and systems, complex avionics data streams and their management in a reliable, certifiable, and validated way is an example of the kind of data problems that face that arena. And, of course, many of you are tackling the problem of software design for managing, exploring, and understanding extremely large data sets. So your topic is important to the spending, federal research spending, in all of the NIT areas. And so this is an excerpt from today's workshop focus, and one of the focus elements is highlighted here, ultra-large data collections. And that's a convenient phrase to describe what is a rapidly moving target. What we mean by ultra-large today will be quite routine tomorrow. And so this is a quote from the IDC white paper on the expanding digital universe, which IDC has taken the approach that was developed by Michael Lesk at Rutgers and Peter Lyman at Berkeley, and are monitoring on a regular basis the flow of digital information worldwide. And so here's one of their recent findings. This is from John Gantz, who leads that IDC effort and shows petabytes worldwide on that y-axis and year on the x-axis. And although the contrast is low, in blue is the information and orange is the available storage. And so something interesting happened in about 2007 on this chart. For the first time ever, the amount of information being generated exceeded the planet's digital storage capacity by IDC's estimate. And so there's this gap of transient information or perhaps unfilled demand for storage. We're in a new world. You can see both of those are exponential curves. They just have different exponents, and the nature of those exponents is important. Thinking about real strategies for long-term preservation and access. The ultra-large changes very quickly, as you can see in this graph. Another focus of the workshop is this business of enabling access and discovery. And so what is that about altogether? This is a project which is on the design, is in the design phase for the Large Synoptic Survey Telescope. This is an effort to look at the dynamics of the universe. And in this project, the intention is that this telescope will survey the night sky covering the complete visible night sky once every 3 days, and then repeating that over and over again, taking an image once every 10 seconds with a 3-gigapixel camera. And so the data flows from that, as you can imagine, are immense. And so that's digital astronomy, and they're ultra-large data sets. Here's the NCAP for the sensor and the ATLAS project, the muon detector for the Large Hadron Collider, which is near the initial operational stage at the CERN facility, and it's intended to shed light on the basic properties of matter by colliding two very high energy beams. And once again, while the physicists involved make the argument that perhaps this is the largest scientific instrument on the planet, and as an aside, I suspect the seismologists would say they can top that by measuring the ringing of the Earth. Nonetheless, while it's at present sort of an engineering and construction problem, when you turn the thing on, it becomes a data problem, right? And so that's what is happening in high-energy physics. This is some work done by Alex McPherson and Klaus Schulten, Klaus at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, modeling using molecular dynamics the structure of an entire organism, if you'll consider a virus an organism. In this simulation, they're looking at a bit more than a million atoms in the simulated structure, and they're doing 1 femtosecond time steps for a total of 50 nanoseconds. And so the data intensive calculations that go into this are remarkable, this is being scaled up to ever larger simulations and structures. And so the point that I wanted to make with respect to all of these science examples is that the problems that you're working on will impact all areas of science and technology, and indeed our society, not just here in the U.S., but globally. So you have a huge challenge. You're a very capable group, and the enthusiasm and interest that I see in the room is very encouraging. So I'm looking forward to a very productive workshop and interested in hearing what you have to say. Thank you very much.